Welcome to the Chasing Tomorrow podcast. I am so excited to tell you all about what's going to happen today and coming up. So I love to have new guests on the show, but also life has become more interesting lately. There's a lot going on in the world every week, every 2 weeks. And I thought that what I would do is pull in one of my best buddies, and we were going to sort of do a quick summary of what's happening in the world of performance, athletics, life in general, and probably talk about some of the topics that are on top of your mind and just do a quick jump in with you so that we can go with you on your journey. You can come with us on our journey. And I'm going to do this with Sean Greenspan, one of my best buddies who I think thinks like me and thinks like you. And this is going to be really exciting. Sean, hey, welcome to the podcast, but I don't even know if I could say that in the future because we're going to be doing this together quite frequently.
Yeah. First of all, I'm super grateful to be on and to be able to join a couple shows a month. I think it'll be really fun. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, what was it? Like last Thursday, you and me talked and we each said we had 5 minutes, and like 8 miles later on my run, I'm like, Joe, I'm home, you know? And yeah. Someone always told me podcasts are an excuse to just have good conversations with people that you want to have good conversations with. So I hope it's nothing more than that and nothing less than that.
I think we can get there. And of course, we love feedback. So if anyone has a question they'd like to bounce off us, you can write to us. If you have thoughts about how to evolve it, that's also great. So yeah, let's just jump in here, Sean. I think one of the things that I think would be fun, like to entertain yourself through challenges. So you take on a challenge, sometimes fully knowing what you're getting yourself into and sometimes not. So maybe just tell me a little bit about your challenge mindset, because I think it is good for people to hear what someone who does this all the time and how they think.
I got to be honest, you teed me up for a good one, because about 2 hours ago, I made a video for my social media about this. And it was, I'll tell you a story that I was flirting with the idea of signing up for a 100-mile ultramarathon. And I called my buddy, and he's done several. He's even done some 200s. And I said, Steve, how do you sign up for a 100-mile? And I started getting into, he already saw where I was going. I started getting into like, how do you choose the right one, whatever. And he just immediately cut me off. He goes, oh, they make it super simple now. You just enter your name and credit card information on the website. And he was saying that to be a jerk, right? Like, I was asking more like philosophically. And then I was like, Steve, come on, man. And he goes, no. Just like pick anyone that could possibly work in your schedule, sign up, pay for it, and you'll figure the rest out. And that's what I did. And I found one in the Appalachian Mountains of Virginia, signed up for it. It was 5 months away. If you're thinking about doing a 100-miler, I was already running ultras. So I felt like 5 months was enough time. Otherwise, I'd say maybe 12 to 18 months. And I signed up and I did it. And then reflecting on that, where I am now, I'm 5 days away from a big race in Chicago, a very different style race. It's called High Rocks. And I realized, man, the last 3 months of my life have been some of the best. And I think it has to do with this race. And I don't care about this race at all. It's just like I have this thing that's holding me to a higher standard. Today, I had 60 minutes of break between meetings. And I got like a 45-minute really high intensity track workout in. I promise you, if I didn't have High Rocks, it would have been, let me send some emails and take a 30-minute walk or jog, which is fine. But like the feeling I got after my track workout, the pride I got, I mean, obviously physically it was a great workout. It allows for more in life. And I'm not saying that you have to do big, extreme, crazy things. But I think people in their field should dream big and crazy and just sign up for shit, like whatever that is. Sign up for shit, hold yourself accountable, tell other people whatever you got to do. That's why I like it. And that's why we're planning our wild one in the next 3 to 6 months.
I think what's fascinating about what you said is what I've learned, right? That when you sign up, it changes your behavior. It's going to allow you to have a set of experiences you wouldn't have had otherwise. It's going to raise your level of consciousness, and it's going to actually change your daily pattern. It's so hard to break from our patterns, but when you have this urgency of something of that scale, it actually turns that dopamine receptor, right, into this motivation and focus tool that makes the journey the important part. And you're right. Look, for us, any of us listening to this, really, it's not about trying to go win. It's actually go participate. Let's be part of this life journey. And what you did with that click, and that's why your friend was so right on, just sign up and then watch what happens afterwards. That is just beautiful.
Yeah, and he's and it's funny. He's a simple man too, and he was just like, "Yeah, you just sign up, bud." And I was like, "All right," but yeah, it changes your life. Jason, who I'm going to introduce you to for our big adventure coming up, he said the same thing. I said, "Why do you do 100 milers?" He's done a bunch now, and he said, "When I'm training, I'm the best version of myself, and I like myself the most."
Great point. And so, but it doesn't always have to be at that level, but it has to be something. Because we know that the vagaries of life and everything else can get in the way. But 168 hours in a week is enough to do what you want. You just have to be smart about how you use your time. And so when you have a goal, you then orient how you use your time to that goal. And so you will consume hours better. That's why he's a better version of himself. He won't have as many sloppy hours of like, I wonder what I did. Did I get
a movie? I might have to collaborate with you on the video I recorded today, Joe. It was exactly that. It was saying that it's forcing me to just be more aware of how I spend my moments. That's really all it's doing. And in fact, like one of the things I talk about is like, I don't know. Do you watch a lot of news, Joe?
Not enough, or maybe too much. I don't know. Not a lot. No.
I'm on a strict no news diet, no television diet.
Yeah.
Like at all. I actually have not sat down and watched TV once in 2023. Wow. And I'll say something like that to my dad, and his comment will be, "Sean, there's nothing bad about TV." Who said there's something bad about TV, Dad? TV is awesome. It's hilarious. It's funny. It's not the best use of my time. Like, I hate to always take it to the dramatic, but like, I'm going to die soon. I don't know when, but it's going to happen soon. And almost never do I watch TV and just be like, man, I'm proud of myself. Like, that is really how I wanted to spend that time. Like, I never leave that feeling more excited. Maybe if it was like a documentary on like climbing or something that makes me be like, I think that's really it. And I kind of want to, it's funny, the question that I wrote down, my number one question for you, Joe, why are wild events like key into your life plan? So pretty similar to the question you asked me, and I'd love your feedback on it.
I've always tried to find the edge of what I was capable of. And the things that seemed like challenges every time you get to the end of them, they don't seem to have ripped enough out of you to figure out you got close to the edge. And so the wilder the event, the more one you have to get prepared, the more it sort of challenges you to the next level. And then when you get there, then you're like, oh, okay, that was hard, but I accomplished it. And then I've had this sort of like, I don't know, I'm certainly not a scientist or the smartest person in the world, but I do believe that human performance is infinite. I just don't know that we've figured out what that means. And so like, I want to just see if I can get close to the edge and like, where is that human performance limit? Have I found it yet? Because I'm intently curious, because it certainly feels like it serves my soul and how I show up in this world. But I also know that this is my opportunity to do and create my own unique journey. And so the wild events are just another part of that. And it's sort of what we talked about, Sean. I think that we all need to figure out how we raise our game level. Because why would you, like, you wouldn't leave your money in the mattress anymore. You would invest it. And so we should invest ourselves in the journey of life. And you can't do that unless you take some risk and to have some consequences, because it makes you perform better. And I just love that feeling. And then you can be a good role model and you can show up better. And you found out something that probably never thought you could even get close to.
Yeah. Moving towards risk, I don't think is something that's talked about enough. Every entrepreneur, every successful entrepreneur, successful athlete, artist is taking a risk. And I think that's something that can certainly be played with a little more. And I was reading Steven Kotler's book called The Art of Impossible. And he says flow is the number one trigger for flow is engaging in an activity that is 4% above your skill set. Mm. And I don't think anyone should get hung up on like, okay, how do I measure my skill set in 4%? I think it's basically, it's the just outside of your skill that you could adapt and learn in the moment and increase your skill set. Again, if we're talking a general term that applies to everything in the world, saying, okay, if my skill set's 100%, building it to 104% probably sounds doable. And it's funny because, yeah, it's like you think about like, think about watching a sports game and you say, wow, like my, like I'm a Washington Redskins football fan. The Redskins, if we play the best team in the NFL, the Eagles right now, we played them twice this year and we went toe to toe and went into overtime. Then we play the worst teams and we lose. It's because people want to be pushed to their limits. It like, it draws you in, and it is, it's also just fun. I don't think a lot of people reflect on really what excites them quite enough. I mean, that's why, Joe, I jumped on it when you were like, hey, Sean, would you do a wild event with me in the next 3 to 5 months? You know, I'd actually love for you to share with everyone what your thought was. Everyone listening, I was on a work call with Joe, and then towards the end of it, he was like, Sean, I'd like to do a really wild event, and I was wondering if you were interested and had any ideas. Yeah. And since we've talked about it, and Joe, I'd love to hear a little bit about like what your criteria is for a wild event and kind of where we are in the process.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of the reason for asking, of course, we can all do them on our own, but there is something to be said for, I think one of the things you and I are seeking out is this, how do we live in each generation more similarly than different? And so we'll reveal later on the age gap. Like, let's leave that out there for a second. But I think that what I'm interested in is showing that we can go more harmoniously on this journey together than I think sometimes shows up in society. We sort of like...
It's going to be a great story.
Right. And so in that, it's like we all can't just fall into, I don't know, yeah, watching Netflix and playing pickleball like at any... And so here's the thinking. A wild event to me is something that very few people have tried, that there is a bunch of unknowns that we can't actually plan for, that in our world, Sean, because we are sort of like, we do like working in our stuff. For right now, it's no longer than 2 weeks. It'll be at least a week to 2 weeks kind of time frame, because we could do something over a year, but we'll save that for later, right? And then it has the sort of, in the unknowns, the opportunity for us to both experience, how do we pull ourselves along, how do we interact, and then hopefully be able to tell a story out of it, even if the story is just for the two of us. And so you have to, and part of this when we engaged on this, and I have been through this, of course, before, you have to give yourself a little bit of time to process lots of options and ideas because they don't all work. But it's actually fun just to think about them. Oh, maybe we could go to Patagonia. We could go to Baffin Island. We could do 14ers in Colorado. We could go across Kenya. There's just a lot of fun in the thinking of the possibilities. And then it narrows and you start to say, oh, do I want to do winter or summer? Is it going to just be the two of us? Do we need a videographer who is not going to interrupt the circumstance? But we want to tell a story. We want to bring this back and start a sort of, I think, a series of this, which is that this generational coexistence, which challenges and opportunity, where we both can make each other better, both by our age and our experience, that makes it interesting for people to do things sort of out of their normal comfort zone. Because it's easy to just sort of do things the way you have before. This is for you and me to do something that we haven't done before together, and then again and again.
Yeah. It's been consuming a lot of my mind thinking about it, Joe. I told you sometimes I just pull up Google Earth or maps. I'm just like, what are these mountains over here? Yeah, I think the uniqueness is important. I think no one really doing what we're doing at the time. I think you said it, like there needs to be some challenges that you can't plan for, whether that's climbing a series of mountains in the winter or a certain duration of an effort. So it's exciting. And I think it allows us to create, like a lot of us are consumers, man, like just consuming social media, emails, whatever, versus like creating in life. And this is like a creation, not just like the mini documentary or the content that comes out of it, like potentially the trail and the trip in itself. It's like, if we do something that no one's done, someone's going to do it right after us. And that's cool. Yeah, and but that's like the coolest thing is like I want to like do something and set a time and then see 12 months later someone else beat it. Like that's so cool because I'm coming back.
This is where we talk about this and we will talk about this over time. One, we don't need permission to go live the life we want to live. Number two, that the life that we end up living is really up to us. And number three, all of this talk about challenge and opportunity actually reflects back into all the opportunity that gets created in your life. It is not dimensional only to this. It actually reflects back into the other choices that you'll make and how other people see you. And so when everyone's trying to go win their lottery ticket, you and I will be navigating across mountains and through forests. And we'll have written our own lottery ticket through that, right? The reward being what we learn along the way.
Yeah. I love that you say we don't need permission because I think that actually slides over people's head. And I think what people are thinking, like literally like getting permission. I think it's more like, hey, if you want to go do something, it's not just that you won't get permission. No one's ever just going to come to you and say, hey, I think you should run a 100-mile marathon. Let me help you plan it. Like you need to think, give yourself permission yes. to think big and give yourself permission to take risks. Not the bigger the risk, the bigger the reward. And it's something I got to be honest, in some areas of my life, I'm a big risk taker, in others I'm not. And I'm trying to transfer that skill over because it is important.
I think that it's a soulful thinking. If we go back in time when it was not as comfortable, what if you were had the opportunity to go on the Lewis and Clark expedition? If you ever read about what they were able to pull off in the 1800s, I mean, it was hard, but there was very bit of life was hard. And so we have to avoid the comfort crisis. We have to avoid just the ease of it. It's just sort of because you have all this resource and we should use the resource. And it actually performs very well. That's what I have found out by getting back into doing my pull-ups again. I had really made that a big effort for years. And then I pushed push-ups. And by the way, it was like in a podcast where someone said, well, if you're going to push, you better pull. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And so now I'm doing that. And then what happened? I started taking in more protein because I'm going to build more muscle. And now I'm increasing my protein. And I'm increasing my activity. And now all of a sudden, everything's getting stronger and better. And I'm like, huh, look at that. It cascades in such a good way. And so I feel so good right now. How could you not want to feel like that?